Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others on TalkSport 2.
Actual Scott scores inside 2 minutes.
All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game.
Nikita Paris is running into the air. It's still Nikita Paris, left footed.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
We're loving it. We're absolutely loving it. It's brilliant.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this Women's Football Weekly update. I'm Faker Ruthers, and over the next hour, we'll be keeping you up to speed with all the latest developments in the women's game. We'll speak to the Shadow Sports Minister, Alison McGovern, who's criticised the FA's decision to cancel the WSL season. You'll hear from Manchester City's head of women's football on that as well. Plus, he'll be discussing their new manager. You can also listen to the thoughts of England women's manager Phil Neville and decide for yourself if he was being disrespectful, saying he's always had his sights set on club football. To discuss all of that and more, I'll be ably assisted by Chelsea's commercial manager Claire Rafferty and Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others.
Hi, I'm Gemma Davison from Tottenham Hotspur, and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Well, that was all a bit of a mouthful, wasn't it? So much to talk about. It's insane. I was almost swallowing my words. So, as I promised you, some very special guests with us all this evening. First of all, I know we promised a special on the Women's Football Pioneers. Don't panic. That is coming next week, but there was way too much going on to ignore it. And as I said, to discuss it all with me, a very good evening to former England, Chelsea and West Ham defender Claire Rafferty. How are you?
Oh, lovely sunny day. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Not quite so sunny in this studio at the moment. Rebecca Myers of the Sunday Times, are you enjoying the sunshine or are you stuck indoors talking to us?
I have been enjoying the sunshine, but I'm now back inside in four walls trying to make sure there's not too much echo and people, dogs barking and things.
Ah, yes, home studios, the joy. We're all used to it now.
I can't promise the dog barking, sorry.
Oh. Right, so we are all social distancing. I want to just crack straight on with it, though, because there is so much for us to get through. Big story of the week, the Shadow Minister for Sports criticised the FA's decision to cancel the Women's Super League season when the Premier League is set to return on the 17th of June. Alison McGovern's written to FA Chief Executive Mark Bellingham saying that the decision to broadcast Premier League games on terrestrial TV but not women's games is failing to capitalise on the viewing figures the England women's team earned at last summer's World Cup. For more on this, let's speak to the woman herself. Hello, Alison McGovern. Good to have you with us on Women's Football Weekly.
Hi there.
What prompted you to write this letter in the first place?
Frustration, crossness. I suppose I have loved to see women's football getting the attention and adoration, I would say, certainly last year, that it deserves. And you know, we all understand the financial realities of the game, but I think just moving to cancel the Women's Super League without a broader plan to say, look, we've got to do this because of this virus, but actually here's a big, broad plan of how we're going to maximise every possible opportunity to get visibility for the women's game, to develop the elite side of things, and also, crucially, here's a big plan for grassroots as well, so that the next generation of young women footballers isn't going to lose out. I think if I'd seen a plan like that, I could have swallowed the sort of slightly high-handed manner in which the league was cancelled. But you know, we need so much better than this. Is the point that I'm trying to make.
Alison, hi, it's Rebecca here. Just wondering, I mean, you know, we're still waiting on decisions as well involving promotion and relegation, the FA Cup, all of these things, and there has been a bit of a silence around a lot of these decisions. I mean, do you think that the women's game has been treated with respect during this process? Do you feel like respect has been given to it, you know, that is due?
I think, I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of any player or any participant in the game. I know that they, you know, are incredibly proud of what they do. But I think as a politician, I would say that women's game needs much more respect than it's getting at the moment, certainly organisationally, including from government, actually. You know, look at the amount of time and effort and media attention that the government have drawn to Project Restart for the Premier League. Has there been anything like that level of attention and effort from government, never mind the FA, on the women's game? I don't think so. So I think it's my job as an angry politician on behalf of everybody, all the participants, to say, you know what, this is not good enough. We want better than this.
Hi, Alison. Thanks for that answer. It's Claire Afty here.
Hi.
You touched on grassroots there, and what plan do you actually think could be put in place to support the grassroots? Because I think, as you mentioned, it is equally as important as, you know, the top level football.
Definitely. And this is where I would slightly be nice to the FA and support what they've done. And actually, I think their plan to grow the women's game has been successful. I've been a part of it. I didn't play football at all. I always loved the game, but never had the opportunity to play until I was 36, 3 years ago. I managed to join a women's team, and, you know, and we play in an FA Inspire league that has had support and the county FA have put time and effort into. So I think that they have done well on that. But the reality is, we want to keep on that journey, and there isn't enough space for women in the community to play football. You know, we've barely got enough football facilities as it is, and we want to build on all of this latent demand that we know that is out there from girls or women, or, you know, and older women as well. Walking football is very popular for women in their 50s, 60s and 70s. So there's so much demand, we actually now need the government to lead a plan to create the proper space, make sure we've got enough coaches, and really deliver on, you know, people's ambitions for the grassroots game, which is much, much bigger even than it is now.
Yeah, it's a really complicated issue, isn't it? And a lot of things to put in place when there's so much going on at the moment. Just in the interests of fairness, the government, you know, did pledge to preserve momentum behind women's sport. Culture Secretary Oliver Dowden saying he was working with the sports minister to make sure progress isn't lost. In his words, visibility matters and our daughters deserve to see female athletes on the main stage. But I suppose what you're saying is that's just words, and now we need, yeah, a bit of action.
Those are really good words. Those are the right words. And if the government are serious about that, and, you know, even though, you know, the government are not my party and we're the opposition, if they're serious about it, I will help them. What I worry about is just, if we look at what history tells us, it's like we've made progress in the women's game before and then it's been lost. And we know what a struggle and a battle that even some of this generation of women's footballers have been through to get to the elite level of the game. And so we can't bear to have this virus, you know, cancel out that progress again. And if the government really mean it, then absolutely, you know, we should work on a cross-party basis to deliver. But I am anxious that we get on with that.
Alison, Rebecca here. The FA Cup still hasn't officially been cancelled. I mean, could that be a way of, you know, achieving something, still getting it back in the public eye, making sure that there are still matches to be enjoyed by fans? Is that something you could potentially get behind?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we've got to look for every opportunity. I don't think, you know, I think that we ought to be imaginative here. And at the end of the day, you know, the virus is kind of in charge, and whatever we do, we have to be put the public health imperative first. So we have to make sure that it's not going to cause any public health issues. But actually, there'll be a lot of scope, I think, for sport to be broadcast over the summer and into the early months of the autumn. So I think we should be imaginative and work out what is possible. The message that I would send, though, is just, if we look at all of the attention that the Premier League and Project Restart has had over recent, you know, over the past couple of months, if we could put that level of effort into finding a way forward for the women's game, I think we might get somewhere, and whether that's using the FA Cup or any other competition.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. You're listening to the thoughts of the Shadow Sports Minister, Alison McGovern, alongside me, Faye Carruthers, Claire Rafferty and Rebecca Myers as well. I just want to draw all of your attention to an interview that I did earlier on in the week with the head of women's football at Manchester City. And on that FA Cup point that Rebecca was making, Alison, he suggested that actually, bearing in mind the termination of the WSL season, it wouldn't therefore be fair on players to bring them back for this kind of, you know, mini tournament, if you like, because it was an idea that had been touted by TalkSport presenter Adrian Durham the other week, which had a lot of good momentum behind it as well. But I just want to play you a clip that of him speaking about the end of the season, and particularly on that point of opportunities being lost.
We've had to take a decision as a collective, really, of what's in the best interest. I think first and foremost of people's health and safety and their well-being. So I think it was the right decision. We're disappointed, as we said, when the decision was announced. We're disappointed because we do feel that we could have gone on and added to our trophy cabinet, if you like, this season. But we also fully understand the reasons as well. I don't feel like it's necessarily a missed opportunity. I think sometimes there's obviously bigger things going on in the world, and I do see there's going to be even more opportunity later on, I think, when we do start the season again. Whether that be a phased-in approach for fans to get back into stadiums, where, you know, women's football might be at the forefront of that. We just don't know. There's so many variables at this moment in time that we're just having to take each day as it comes, really.
So, interesting thoughts there from Gavin Makel, the head of women's football at Manchester City. I mean, could women's football, Alison, in your opinion, be at the forefront of trying to get fans back into stadium?
It definitely can. What I worry about is that unless somebody makes a fuss, then all the attention will be on the men's game. And as I was saying before, you know, I really respect the athletes involved in playing women's football and all of those professionals. They need to get on and do their professional job, and they haven't got time to be, you know, pestering the government and explaining, you know, in quite clear terms how important this is. I see that as my role to bang a massive drum and say, you know, we need the level of attention and resource that has been put towards the restart of sport, and focusing that on the women's game, and work out, as you know, from the government side and what they know about the virus and how we might be able to bring back supporters at some point in the future, marry that expertise with, you know, with people in the game and what they're you know, needs for training or whatever. We need to bring all of that together and come up with a plan that everybody can get behind, because at the moment it just feels like drift. So I hope by the more attention we can draw to this issue, the more focus we'll get on it, and then these opportunities can be properly explored.
And you talk about people making a fuss. You're certainly one of those people, in your words, making the fuss. What have you heard back from the FA?
I'm actually talking to them on Friday. We're having a meeting on Friday. When the issue was first, when it first sort of became clear that the league would be avoided and cancelled, I kind of did get in touch with them and say that I was really quite worried about it. And we're talking further on Friday. And as I say, you know, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think the FA have got lots to be proud of. But I do think it's my job to be somewhat unreasonable in my demands on behalf of women playing football and all of the women and men who love to watch them.
Alison, firstly, I'll say thank you for actually doing that for us footballers, or I'm ex-footballer now, but I think you're right. We do need someone kind of directing their energy to that. I've got so many different questions that I kind of want to ask you, but we don't have enough time here. I think for me, the equal broadcasting rights for the women in this could have been a really kind of a great unprecedented opportunity to drive that step change for the prominence of women's football. Do you think that, you know, you could almost present that to them as, you know, back-to-back, you know, free-to-air like they've done in overseas in the Bundesliga and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think that this is what we've got to look at. I was struck today, you know, that things have been quite different for women in Germany, that the Bundesliga has supported the completion of the game. Some reports saying, you know, supported to the tune of around $2 million worth of financial support. And I've been struck by the difference. So I think these are the things we've got to look at. In terms of the broadcasting, you know, we know one thing about what's happened with coronavirus is that people are hungry to be able to watch sport. And I think all of my experience over the past few years has said that women's football is a very exciting and brilliant sport to watch. And I cannot believe that we can't do better in terms of maximising the opportunity for people to see women's football on the telly. And whatever the mechanism is that we use to do that, whatever the principles or whatever, we can discuss that and decide it. But I think the first thing has got to be to make that demand and say, we've got to have more equality in broadcasting.
Alison McGovern, thank you so much for joining us on Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. Shadow Sports Minister there, I hope you'll come back on and let us know how you get on with your conversation with the FA on Friday.
I will be.
And we look forward to seeing how far your quest can go and if things can start progressing for sure. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers. You've been listening to the thoughts of Shadow Sports Minister Alison McGovern, along with Sunday Times journalist Rebecca Myers and commercial manager at Chelsea, Claire Rafferty. By the way, if you've missed any of the show today, do not worry because you can catch up on it on our podcast. I think I remind you every single week that we are now a podcast on Women's Football Weekly. You can download it on Spotify and Apple products and take us wherever you want. Next, though, find out Manchester City Women's big plans for the future.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio.
Hi, I'm Georgia Stanway and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers, and I'm joined tonight for your listening pleasure with Claire Rafferty, Partnership Sales Manager at Chelsea and former England defender, and Rebecca Myers, journalist at the Sunday Times. Before we move on to Manchester City, I just want to reflect a little bit on the thoughts of the Shadow Sports Minister, Alison McGovern, there, because she made some very interesting points. She doesn't mess about, does she? The women's game needs more respect, she said. We need so much better from the FA. She wants to work on a cross-party solution as well. I like the fact that she's not making this a political issue and talking to the FA on Friday. What were your thoughts, Claire?
I think, you know, quite grateful that she's actually kind of standing up for what's right for women's football. I think she's probably got a huge task on her hands, but I think actually it's about making the noise, as she said. The last point I touched on then about the equal broadcasting rights is actually something that the Lewis board brought up about actually broadcasting the elite level women's football alongside the elite level men's football. But obviously, you know, it's been cancelled now, the league. But I think that was an opportunity for them to do so and then to kind of try and bridge that gap. But for me, actually, I do feel like the FA potentially have shown that they just don't value the women's football as much as they have made out that they have.
That's an interesting thought, Rebecca.
Yeah, I mean, I would join Claire in saying thanks to Alison, basically, for I know she said, you know, she was banging this drum, but thank God someone is. I think she's just made some brilliant points. I was interested that she said, she didn't want to make unreasonable demands, or, you know, maybe she was as someone who was banging that drum, but these aren't unreasonable demands. These are perfectly reasonable, you know, requirements. You know, women's football deserved respect. And she made a great point in her initial comments about it being banned for so long, and that there's a lot of work to do here, and thank goodness someone is standing up for it.
Yes, I think there are plenty of people standing up for it. Sorry, I was trying to rapidly put my microphone on then and didn't manage it. I was just listening to you two chatting. I think there are plenty of people certainly banging the drum, but it's, you need people in a position of influence to be able to do it and actually, you know, start making some big change. Right, let's talk Manchester City now, because there has been some domestic news going on as well. Man City have appointed Gareth Taylor as their new manager on a 3-year contract. He played for City between 1998 and 2001 and has been managing the men's academy team. He succeeds Nick Cushing, of course, who left his position in February and himself managed the academy team as well. I caught up with him on TalkSport 2 last week, and he said he was proud and honoured to be given the job.
I feel personally that I'm ready for this moment, and it's a big step up and it's a big responsibility, and one that I'm thoroughly looking forward to getting started with, and really excited about the future. I'm under no illusions. I need to be successful. I'm confident that I will be. And I'm going to need everyone's support to do that. I'm not a lone ship. I'm going to need as much help as I possibly can. And I've had that. I've had that in the academy. The successes we've had there has been a real team effort. As much as I'm at the front of it, I don't take light on the amount of work that people are putting in on a daily basis in order for us to be successful. And that's a big part of what I'm about, is the team ethic. It's a joint thing. We want to play winning football, but we want to win with style and a bit of class. There's always pressure, I think, you know, when you go into first team football, no matter what the level is. The objectives could be fighting for your life, fighting for survival, trying to be successful, winning competitions. I'm under no illusions, but I enjoy that. I've wanted this next step and this the pressure that comes with it. And my job, obviously, is to take that pressure, relieve it all from the players, and give them the best possible platform to be successful. So, you know, I had it in my career, going into big games, and hopefully I can draw on those experiences in order to help the players.
Yeah, of course, a former Wales international as well. Gareth Taylor, the new Manchester City head coach, speaking there. Claire Rafferty, former Chelsea defender, tried and tested method from Man City, promoting from within. They know it works. Are they just taking too much of a punt that it's going to work again?
I think it has worked, and they clearly trust in their talent and the talent gene that's coming through. He has experience working in the academy. And I think Man City, from what I can tell, obviously don't know the ins and outs, but I can tell that their ethos and their mentality allows these coaches to come through and flourish. And he touched on there the support that he's had, and that is paramount. You know, it's not just about that one manager; it's about the whole team and the whole backroom staff that come together. So I also think it's really good for the game. The fact that Man City are having to reinvent themselves. We need this league to be as competitive as possible.
Yeah, he admitted that he'd consulted with former manager Nick Cushing as well about the role, and talked of others within the City football group who are supporting him as well.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Cushing is such a legacy, isn't it? And as he said a few times there, he's under no illusion that he needs to succeed. And he does. And I actually really like that, because the pressure is on in women's football. You know, gone are the days where you can, you know, go 10 seasons without getting the sack if you're not succeeding. And I think they do need to be winning. I'm interested to see what happens this season with the league standings. But I think, yeah, moving forward, it's going to make for a competitive league.
Yeah, we'll talk about the league standings in a second, because we'll hear more from Head of Women's Football, Gavin Makel. But let's have a listen to Gareth Taylor talking about Nick Cushing and other influences that he's had within the City Football Group.
I'm actually really good friends with Nick. We've been friends for many years. And over 6 years ago, I was actually his line manager. in the academy, and we've been very close for a number of years, and he's been a brilliant soundboard for me to use in this period. And there's many influences. I'm an evolving coach. I'm certainly I have some fundamental morals or kind of things that I really hold dear to me, but I certainly feel that if I'm still the same coach in 5 years' time, then I would be very disappointed in myself. So many influences from really good people within the academy. I'm a big fan of the first team manager. So fortunate to be able to gain a glimpse of that on occasions and get some interactions with him. Rodolfo Borrell, who was my head of coaching, who's now working with Pep. And Jason Wilcox, you know, there's some really good people at CFG, and the support made to you if you go and seek it out is great, and it will be foolish not to use that.
Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times, what do you think of Gareth Taylor's appointment? And as he says there, he does have a lot of people, because he's already been within the structure of Manchester City, he does have a lot of people to lean on, which Nick Cushing in the past said was very helpful to him.
Yeah, he does. And you know what? I'm excited by this appointment. I think, obviously, like you said, it is a tried and tested method. You know, it's not super imaginative. It's not going out on a massive limb. But also, you know, Nick has such huge shoes to fill. He was so integral to the player's identity, I think, that whole club identity. And he'd had such success, and he was clearly such a sort of people person. He was very much a manager who understood each player on a really granular level. And I think in a way, maybe they need someone to come in who can kind of also do that, who knows Nick really well, who's had extensive conversations with him, who knows the whole kind of club setup. You know, Pep has expressed interest in the women's team before. This isn't the first time he's kind of, you know, been involved in some way. And I know Nick has said before that he's had the odd bit of advice from him. So, yeah, I'm excited by this. I think it could be a really, really good move. Like Claire said, it's, you know, gone are the days where he could just try this out for a while and see how good he is. This is the best club in the country, you know, well, among the best. And people are going to expect results, and fans are going to expect results. And he knows that he has to go into next year and essentially come out top pretty much immediately. That's the requirement of the job now if you're Manchester City manager.
Yeah, of course, the Champions League is still something that they really want to get their hands on for sure. In terms of this season, you know, if it was to end with a weighted points per game system, then they wouldn't win. That would go down to Chelsea. If it's voided, it doesn't, you know, do anything for them. And again, head of women's football, Gavin Makel, told us the FA haven't given any kind of timescale as to how the season's going to end and when.
We'll wait as long as we need to, in many respects. You know, I think everyone will just move on and you know, whatever the decision lands on, it's not an easy one. But it's something that's been considered across the game, not just within the WSL, obviously with the EFL and other parts of Europe. So, you know, it's a tough decision. But, you know, we'll see what happens, and we're comfortable with whatever decision is going to be made, really.
So comfortable with whatever decision's going to be made. It is quite, you know, magnanimous from a Manchester City point of view, and something you'd probably expect them to come out and say anyway, because it just doesn't seem appropriate to be talking about winning a title in these kind of circumstances, for sure. But they seem, I mean, many clubs are kind of coming out with this, but with domestic leagues around the world, and NWSL clubs returning to training, the Frauen Bundesliga restarted last week. It must be a source of frustration that they couldn't do something, surely.
It is frustrating, isn't it? I think I'm quite frustrated by it, especially as you just mentioned, you see, you know, all the other leagues starting up again. As far as I'm aware, I think it was down to actually the clubs having to fund the testing themselves, and that was just, you know, that just wasn't going to happen just because of the huge financial burden on the clubs, and I think a lot of them need trouble to do so. And you know, it is sad that the season has had to end, but as you said, you know, it's for the best. It's difficult to argue against, isn't it, when this, you know, such a serious situation is happening at the moment.
Perhaps what's not as easy to argue against, though, Rebecca, is that an announcement still hasn't been made. I mean, the Shadow Sports Minister, Alison McGovern, mentioned that as well. You know, I know that they have to make exactly the right decision, and that is going to take a heck of a lot of time to come up with. But surely, just in the interests of everybody being able to put this to bed, they have to come out and say something soon.
Yeah, I am finding the wall of silence quite frustrating, I think, particularly as, you know, the Premier League and returning to play dominates all the headlines. It feels increasingly like women's football's just being ignored. I know that's not the case. I know there are lots of meetings taking place. I know it's not easy. You know, no one has ever been in this situation before. No one could ever have predicted it. It's a really difficult decision to make and a really complex process. But there's been very little communication. We saw this as well with the Women's Euros. It was this sort of, you know, afterthought. It felt like this, you know, the men were going to be bumped by a year, so everybody just assumed the women were going to be. And I think sometimes flip that the other way around. Can you actually imagine this happening to the men? Like, obviously you can't. And I think it we're increasingly getting to the stage now, especially now that, you know, we waited quite a long time for the leagues to be cancelled, with everyone assuming that they were going to be and kind of knowing that they were. And now they have officially, finally, you know, we're waiting even longer to hear about, yeah, like you said, anything that could form a sense of closure for these players and give them a chance to focus on, you know, channeling their efforts into next season.
Absolutely. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers. You're listening to the thoughts of Sunday Times journalist Rebecca Myers speaking just there, and former England, West Ham, Chelsea defender, now partnership sales manager at Chelsea, Claire Rafferty as well. Don't forget, Women's Football Weekly is now a podcast, so you can download us on Spotify and Apple products and take us wherever you want. Next, though, how do you feel about England manager Phil Neville's latest comments?
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Carly Telford, and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers, and I am socially distancing with former West Ham, Chelsea and England defender Claire Rafferty and Sunday Times journalist Rebecca Myers as well. Now, just before we go into some of Lionesses' head coach Phil Neville's recent comments that he's made, I do just want to discuss a few things left in the WSL that we haven't quite wrapped up yet. And actually, one of these things stems from something that Phil Neville did say the other day, because he was the person that announced that Birmingham have applied to put their women's players on furlough following Reading FC's decision to do the same thing at the beginning of this COVID-19 pandemic. Obviously, as we expected, a number of players' contracts coming to an end as well. So we're seeing various announcements. But the ones that I want to discuss with you were Liverpool players in particular, because a couple of barbed comments coming out of, barbed depending on how you look at them. I read them, and if you want to read between the lines, you certainly see some stuff. So here we go, for example, Christy Murray leaving the club. I'm looking forward to the next step in my career and the opportunity to be in an environment that challenges me, both as a person and as a footballer, and most importantly, to be able to enjoy what I love again. There was another one as well from Courtney Sweetman-Kirk that I had in front of me a second ago and I've now deleted really usefully. But that was also pretty interesting. She seemed to highlight like the same points as well, that she wasn't perhaps enjoying her football at Liverpool FC and was looking forward to a change. Claire Rafferty, it's not unknown for players to want to move on because they're perhaps not happy, but when it's all coming out of the same club and quite, you know, laced comments on social media, do you think there's a problem there?
Yes, I definitely do. I think because also, you know, as a player, you do respect the club that you've come from. And for the, you know, Murray in particular saying, I'm looking forward to my next step in my career. A next step from Liverpool. I mean, that's Liverpool, you know, obviously we're not comparing the men's and the women's, but Liverpool as a club have the potential to be, you know, one of the best women's team in the world with the financial support that they should have. And I just think, yeah, I think the culture of Liverpool, is that being represented in the women's team? When you're not enjoying your football, it can become, you know, it's quite a chore. And I'm sure a lot of these girls don't get paid as much as they should be. So if they're not enjoying it, then, you know, they've got every reason to want to move on.
Yeah. What did you think of those comments, Rebecca?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see that those are sort of laced with discontent, in my opinion anyway. We've followed this, you know, throughout the whole of the season, and I just don't understand why things aren't getting better at Liverpool. I will give a shout out. There was an excellent piece in The Athletic, a couple of months ago now, time obviously passing strangely in lockdown, but a really good piece unpicking kind of all the various things that are coming out of there. And we are getting a lot of it in dribs and drabs. It's quite hard to paint a picture of, you know, the situation there. But from what I understand, it's not a happy camp. You know, there are a lot of players who obviously now are leaving and saying these veiled things. But, you know, in a way, I think Liverpool will escape a true reckoning this season. You know, they could have been... I couldn't have seen them really saving their season. There's every chance they would have ended at the bottom of the league and been relegated, in which case I think there would have been genuine, proper interest on a big scale, asking lots of questions, especially from their core fan base. And I think from men's fans who probably otherwise maybe didn't know so much about the women's team, and they would have really had to answer some difficult questions. Whereas obviously now we don't know what's going to happen with relegation, but I can absolutely see it not happening. In which case, you know, are they kind of spared a reckoning? Are they spared these difficult questions? And do they just go on next season and keep making this kind of mistake with not enough investment and unhappy players? I don't know. I think it's a really interesting time for them.
So hypothetically, no relegation, they're given a stay of execution. Would you see that potentially as them being given that stay of execution, not because of what the club are doing to improve their women's football side, not because of performances on the pitch, but purely because of who they are traditionally?
Yeah, I don't think that would be an unfair assumption, no. I mean, obviously, these, like we said before, these are exceptional circumstances, and you can't necessarily project, you know, the decisions you'd make in ordinary circumstances onto this, but that's what it will look like. It will look like Liverpool are being, you know, given a second chance because of their name. And I hope they take it. I really do. I hope they surprise us all. And next season, it's the club everyone wants to go to. But right now, they're going to struggle to even attract players if these are the kind of statements coming out.
Yeah, and that is always the problem. I mean, Birmingham had exactly the same thing when so many players left their squad, didn't they? And then they've struggled as a result. Now, let's look internationally, because Lionesses boss Phil Neville has revealed he was always planning to spend 3 years as head coach. He's obviously set to leave his role in charge of the Lionesses at the end of his contract in July 2021. He told BeIN Sports' Keys and Gray show the plan was always to work in club football.
The plan was always to do the 3 years. I had a World Cup, I had Olympics, which was this summer now, and then there was the Euros in England next summer. That was my 3 year stint at international football. I think international football for sort of like a 40 to 41, 2 year old is can get quite frustrating. So I thought, you know, get some managerial experience, unbelievable in terms of going to major tournaments, and then cut my teeth sort of like in day to day running with the energy that I have got. And with the coronavirus, it means that there was no Olympic Games, no Euros, which meant that ultimately I had to make the decision early because at this moment in time, we'd be preparing for an Olympics. So my plan was always just to go for the 3 years and then get into day-to-day running of a club job, which would be what I wanted to do. And it's been brilliant. I've loved every minute of it, but ultimately you don't get to see the players. You don't get to impact them every single day, which is now what I feel I need to do.
Interesting thoughts there from England manager Phil Neville. By the way, he was speaking to the Keys and Gray show, which is on Monday to Friday on the BeIN Sports YouTube channel. A lot of people have immediately gone straight in to Phil Neville and said, and effectively paraphrased what he said by saying he used the head of, I'll rephrase that, used the manager of England women as a stepping stone. How did you read it, Claire Rafferty, as a former England defender?
You know what? I think actually having just conversations with a few other managers about international football, and I think it is easy to read it like that, and it can be a little bit frustrating. And obviously, he's obviously said this, you know, in retrospect of, you know, he didn't come in saying this, which obviously he would get crucified for if he did. But I think it is frustrating to be an international manager. You don't get the contact hours. And, you know, we've seen Nick Cushion go on to men's football. I think you can look at it in both ways. And I don't know which way I'm looking at it, actually, to be honest. I'm not really one to sit on the fence normally, but I can see the frustration.
I'm not one to usually give my opinion, but can I actually interject? Because when I read it, I wasn't offended by it. I thought, well, that's fair enough, isn't it? Mm. Because he kind of gave a context to it in terms of he's not able to develop players on a daily basis because he doesn't see them all the time. And so it's a stepping stone, as it would be for any coach. I think the reason people are annoyed about it, or some people are annoyed about it, is because he's going from the women's game back to the men's game. But actually, if you want to say a coach is a coach, then, you know, he's learnt a lot being England women's manager. And so I feel as if the criticism is a little bit harsh, because all he's saying is that he's learnt loads and is really grateful for the opportunity, and now he wants to take what he's learnt to try and progress more players on a daily basis. And you wouldn't expect him to go necessarily, it would feel he was going backwards if he went to manage a women's club team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right actually there, because I think that's why I didn't really know how to take that, because actually he obviously has learned a lot of lessons. Have England improved? That's a different discussion.
We could go on forever with that.
Yeah. And yeah, as I say, you know, Nick Cushion kind of made a step to men's football. Why is it any different for Phil Neville?
Rebecca, Brighton manager Hope Powell, who obviously was England manager herself, took England to 4 European Championships. She said she found Neville's comments a little bit disappointing, but that she wasn't surprised by them. I just want to quote something else she said as well. I think the most important thing going forward is that the next coach is somebody who has experience of the women's game. Does it have to be a female? My preference would be yes. I think it sends a positive message out to other females striving to be coaches in the game, and it would be a good role model for future generations.
She's right about that, undoubtedly, but I have said before, actually I think on this show, and I'll say it again, I don't think it has to be a woman. I think the greatest respect we can give to, well, women's football in this country, our England team, is to give them the best coach for the job, full stop. And I think, Phil, I think I'm with you, actually. I think he was kind of not set up, obviously. I don't think he was led into this. But if anyone who's worked with Phil or interviewed him knows, he has occasionally says things that he doesn't quite mean, or he hasn't quite explained it well enough.
Or they're interpreted differently, yeah.
Or they're interpreted, exactly. And I think, you know, this has just got minefield danger zone. Like, he's just gone straight through the red tape around the mines. And actually, you know, we have such a kind of sore spot in women's football about anything to do with people coming in and using it as a stepping stone, as well we should. But I don't really think that that's what he was saying here at all. And actually, I don't think it would be a backward step for him to go. I think he would do really well as head of a women's club. I'd love to see him try that. I'd love to see, obviously, the Man City post is filled now, but I would have loved to see him go to that job, for example, try his hand there. I think it would be fascinating. I'm... Obviously, Hope Powell has done that. She has gone from England to managing a club. So possibly also, you know, it was something that she was surprised to hear him say, you know, in that sense. But I think maybe we're being slightly unfair on him, or, you know, the kind of Twitter bandwagon and general criticism has been a bit unfair on him, because he didn't sit on that show and say, I was always planning to use this as a stepping stone to get into, you know, Chelsea men's. Like, he obviously didn't say that, and that's... I don't think he would have done that.
Exactly. The Twitter echo chamber responsible yes. for so much. Interestingly, the FA are advertising for the England women's head coach role on their website. Either of you planning on putting your CVs in?
No, I don't think I've quite got the energy yet.
You never know. Shall I go for it? I've had quite a lot of time in lockdown to think about things.
I reckon you should, Rebecca. It would be fantastic. Just to wrap up all the international stuff, new dates have been agreed for the postponed Women's Euros qualifiers scheduled for April and June. So they're now going to be taking place from September with the playoffs in April 2021. And obviously the finals in England now the 6th of July to the 31st of July 2022. But it's still being called Euro 2021, which is going to confuse the hell out of all of us. I feel like we're all going to be feeling like it's another leap year or something going on over the next couple of years. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. You've been listening to the thoughts of Claire Rafferty and Rebecca Myers. Next, we'll bring you a musical interlude.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
We're fighting for our dreams because we just want to play. So we're here to take a stance on disparity and pay, because some are working and balling just to make ends meet. But we've been keeping up even with no time to sleep. So don't sleep on us, because the time is now. We're good in our own right and the world is seeing how. Saying wow when they're engaging throughout the world stage. Saying it's amazing, yeah, but we've been trapped in this cage.
This is Women's Football Weekly here on TalkSport 2. Don't worry, you've not turned over to a commercial radio station. This is TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. I'm alongside Claire Rafferty, Partnership Sales Manager at Chelsea and former England defender, and Rebecca Myers, journalist at the Sunday Times. And the reason we're playing you something a little bit different there is that today marks the first day of Pride Month in the WSL, and Jess King, who's a striker for Lewis FC, has released a rap single, what you've just been listening to now. The track's called Raise Us Up. She's teamed up with Max Mezawave to produce it. It's aimed at helping tackle gender equality in football. The single's out now, by the way, if you do want to download it. Jess joins us as well. Jess, how are you doing and how did this all come about?
Hi, I'm doing well, thanks. I got connected with Max, and you know, it was kind of on the back of the World Cup, and there was a big buzz about it. And you know, I've been writing for a long time, and this is something that I was passionate about, and thought, you know, this might be a good thing to put out there and start talking about in a different way, which is music. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting to talk about it in a totally different way, because obviously here on Women's Football Weekly, we talk about the equality issue a lot. And yeah, we've obviously talked a lot about what's going on out in the United States as well. But totally, yeah, to bring it to a different audience is quite key. What kind of response have you had?
Yeah, you know what? I've been really surprised at the such a positive response that I've had. And, you know, everyone, I think, is feeling where I'm coming from and what I'm trying to do and connect people and, you know, let other female footballers' voices be heard through my song. And, you know, it is a different way of reaching people, and hopefully it'll keep getting heard and spread around.
What feedback have you heard from fellow players?
Yeah, I mean, my teammates and a lot of other people have been messaging me saying, like, well done, the lyrics are awesome. You know, you've put yourself out there and kind of representing us on a larger scale. So, yeah, lots of positive things.
Tell all our listeners where they can download it.
Yeah, you can download it on Spotify, and you can get it on the Lewis FC website, and it will be coming on iTunes, Amazon and Google Play, and also the video is on YouTube now.
Oh, I look forward to watching that after the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank
Jess.
You.
Really great,
yeah,
to
no
talk
problem.
To you. All right, take
Thanks
care. Jess
Bye.
King there, Lewis FC striker, who's written the track Raise Us Up, aimed to help tackle gender equality in football. Did you like that, ladies?
Absolutely loved it.
I loved it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, get that on loud. Loved it.
Absolutely. I'm going to go and download that myself. Just a couple of other things to kind of tie up as well. Some positive news coming out of Reading. The club are announcing they're planning to play more of the women's matches at the Madejski Stadium, where the men's senior team play. Of course, they're currently based at Wickham's Adams Park. Just before we came off air last week, we then also heard that AFC filed a reverse the decision to disband their women's team. News of a restructure that will keep the women's side going comes 4 weeks after Fylde had said the team would disband because of the coronavirus pandemic. They've appointed joint managers Kim Turner and Danielle Young as well. Just finally, Rebecca, the Derby Rimmer Foundation, 100k for May. It's all been completed. What are the kind of figures and how are your legs?
It has. Thank you for asking. Yeah. So I did 200K over bike and running. Sore legs, actually, since you ask. Yeah, I finished off with a sort of 10K on Sunday on the final day, and by that point I was aching. But we raised, so a group of us women's football journalists, we managed to raise over £5,000 ourselves, and I think in total well over £150,000 has been raised now, which is absolutely amazing. We're so chuffed, and yeah, I think it's such an awful disease, and I think it really, you know, struck a chord with people to raise money for it. So we were really pleased.
Absolutely. Well done to you. Braver than me. I love the fact that you didn't just do 100K. You doubled it. Why? Obviously, Rebecca Myers.
That was an error in hindsight.
Anyway, it was lovely talking to you. Rebecca Myers there, journalist from the Sunday Times. Thanks for being with us. Claire Rafferty, always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we shall speak to both of you soon, no doubt. Thanks to Claire Rafferty, Rebecca Myers, Shadow Sports Minister Alison McGovern and Lewis FC striker turned rap star Jess King. You have been listening to a Women's Football Weekly update on TalkSport 2. Thanks so much for being with us. Next week, we will be talking to pioneers of the women's game with England women's record goal scorer Kelly Smith.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Women's Football Weekly
on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.